Another important message to hear in an empathic way is silence. You see, if we're using nonviolent communication and we learn how to empathically connect with what is going on in other people at any given moment, the other person cannot not communicate with us, because even silence is a very loud, powerful message. One example of this occurred when some parents heard me speak on the radio, and they called on the telephone and asked if I would be willing to see their 24-year-old daughter. They told me she was in a mental hospital, and she just sat very depressed all day long, staring at the floor. And I told them, yes, bring her in. I would be glad to talk with her. And they said, but Dr. Rosenberg, she's in a mental hospital. Oh, yes, I said, I understood that. I would suggest taking her out. Bring her to my office and let's just see how she responds. They said, take her out of the hospital? I said, yes, I have some reservations about people being in institutions that claim that people are mentally ill. I think that this gives them the impression that there's something wrong with them for having these feelings, and I much prefer to deal with people who are suffering outside of that context. So the next day, they took her out of the hospital and brought her into my office, and I invited her to sit down, and she did. And she looked at the floor, and she looked very tense and scared. And the parents went out to wait in my waiting room. So there I'm sitting with her, and she's just looking at the floor, saying nothing, and I introduce myself. I said, my name is Marshall. I'm glad that your parents wanted you and me to talk, because they told me that they were very hopeful that you and me talking would be of help to you, and I would hope that I can be of help. I'd like you to tell me how you feel about coming here today. And she just stared at the floor, didn't say anything. Well, that silence is a very loud message if we can connect with what is this person feeling and needing that leads them to choose silence to any verbalization. And I tried to connect with that. I said, are you feeling scared right now and have a need to protect yourself and you want to be sure it's safe to be with me before you say anything? And she just continued looking at the floor. And I continued to try to connect with what was alive in her. And I said, I'm sensing that even telling me you're scared is not easy for you. And you really want to be sure it's safe before you tell me anything. Is this what's going on? She didn't say anything. She continues to look at the floor, shaking a little. And for the next 40 minutes, I just stayed present to what I guessed was going on in her, since she didn't confirm it. I didn't know for sure. I just tried to stay present, connected to what was alive in her. Maybe twice more in that 40 minutes, I did reflect again. I'm sensing that you're really scared. It's not easy to talk until you're sure that it'll be safe. Is this what's going on? But all I got was the nonverbal behavior. At the end of 40 minutes, I was pretty fatigued. And I said to her, I'm pretty tired right now, and I'd like some rest. And I'd like you to come back tomorrow, and I'd like to continue to communicate with you. Would you be willing to have me have your parents bring you back tomorrow? And she just sat staring at the ground. And I said, well, if I don't hear anything from you, I'll assume it's okay. And so I asked her parents to bring her back the next day. And on day two, she again just sat there. And again, for the whole period, for about 40 minutes, I just tried to stay connected to what I sensed was alive in her, reflecting it verbally a couple of times. Day three, the same thing. Day four, the same thing. Finally, on day 5, a different message. Still a nonverbal one, but instead of just sitting and staring at the floor, she turned her face away from me and put her fist up near my face and kind of shook her fist. I guessed from this that she was angry and wanted to be left alone, and I said that out loud. Are you feeling angry at being brought in here every day, and are you just needing rest and to be by yourself? And she shook her head, no. And I said, well, then I'm not sure what you're trying to communicate to me by shaking your fist in front of my face like this. And finally I figured it out. I could see a little piece of paper coming out of one part of her hand. And I pried open her fingers on her fist. And then there was a message inside that said, please help me express what's going on inside. And this started then, her feeling safe enough to talk with me. And she subsequently made very clear why it took 5 sessions before she felt that she could be safe enough to talk with me. And she made it very clear to me what empathic connection she felt for those whole 5 periods, even when she was silent, that I could just be with her, hearing her feelings and needs, even though she was too frightened to say them out loud, and how much she felt it from my silence as well as the words. She felt that I was with her. She went on to tell me that when she first went to a doctor about how depressed she was feeling when she was in the university, she said the doctor just sat there making notes and didn't say anything that led her to feel that she really was understood. And she said, and he gave me some medicine. And that made me think that he thought there was something wrong with me for what I was saying. And subsequently, he put me on shock treatments. And that made me feel that there was really something bad about me, that having the strong feelings that I did. And she said, that's why it took me so long to feel safe with you, Marshall. I needed to really feel safe that whatever was alive in me could be understood and didn't mean there was something wrong with me.